I love the story in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. We'll read the first 9 verses. And I'll do my best to be brief. The first verse says, "Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Notice what he says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses." What a promise. "And from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded. Turn not from the right hand to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The Bible tells Joshua how to have success. And I will submit to you tonight, this is the key to have success in life in general. It goes beyond just what was going to be accomplished in Canaan land, but what is going to be accomplished in your Canaan land. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thankful that it's still yet real. Thankful it's still powerful. And God, I'm thankful that we can have good success. We can prosper, God, and flourish in what you want us to become and what you want us to be. And God, help us not to be looking to the world as it measures success because its ruler is faulty. The way it measures is wrong. God, we need to see things through your eyes. And I pray that not only Alex, but all the young people that's here tonight, and even us adults, that we would reevaluate, God, that you didn't bring us to Canaan to live in defeat. You didn't bring us to Canaan to cohabitate. You didn't bring us to Canaan, Lord, to settle and be content with the conditions and the things that's happening in Canaan. But you brought us into this life that we might live a life of victory, that Jesus Christ might be honored and glorified. Thank you for the opportunity to stand tonight, and I pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. See, God's people up to this point have been living in mediocrity ever since Moses brought them out of the land of Egypt. For 40 years, they had wandered the wilderness. The generation, Joshua and Caleb's generation, died off methodically over 40-year period. And the Bible tells us that these people, as they wandered, God had miraculously provided for them during that period of time. Now, can you imagine, for 40 years they knew what had been promised to them? They knew what they could have in their possession, but because they failed to follow God wholeheartedly, the result was that they would have to live a life of mediocrity, live a life of defeat. I hate losing. I play basketball, Pope, he hates losing, right? We were kin in that area. We hate losing. And there's a lot of Isaac, he hates losing. Andrew hates losing. And I'd say there's other people. I'd say Brother Paul, I wasn't around, but I'd say he hated losing too. Amen? You got to learn how to lose, but you never have to like losing. Amen? For 40 years, they had learned a lot losing. Think about that. They lived a life of mediocrity. You see, the promised land was to be a place of riches, reward. It was to be a place of rest. It was to be a place of victory. Now, I want to say to you, we sing songs talking about Canaan's land. We die, we're going to Canaan's happy land. Let me just tell you something. Canaan isn't heaven. It isn't a picture of heaven. But what Canaan is, it is a picture of the victorious Christian life available for the child of God. Because in Canaan there's wars, in Canaan there's difficulty, but ultimately if you follow God wholeheartedly, Canaan is a place of victory. And let me tell you something about this life. This life is a place of difficulty. This place is a place of heartaches. It's a place of grief and disappointments. But also, if you follow the Lord wholeheartedly, guess what? You can experience victory. And so, what I want to say tonight to every person here, we should never be settlers. You see those commercials, don't be a settler. And that's what a lot of Christians have. They've become content with the way things are in their own life. God could give us all so much more if we would just set out and say, you know what? I want to be like Joshua. I want everything God has set before me. I want to experience victory. I don't want to experience defeat. I don't want to live a boring life, a life of misery, but I want to have joy in my heart. I want to experience the thrill of seeing what God can do. And you'll find in the first 9 verses there was a call from God, and the call that came was that they were to go possess the land. They were to claim the land. You see, it was a place of spiritual victory for them. It was a place of conquest for them. And you see, you'll find in the first 4 verses, he says, listen, Moses, my servant is dead. But Joshua, now I've chosen you. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said to Moses. You go and you claim this, it belongs to you. Now he gives the dimensions and the parameter of the land that they were to possess. And not only that, it was one that not only did he tell them to claim the land, but he also told them to be confident. And you say, what do you mean be confident? You'll find in verse 5 through 6, here's what he says. He says, listen, if I was with Moses, I will be with you. You know what? They give me confidence. Because if God was with anybody, and God worked on the behalf of any individual, it was Moses. And if God worked on the behalf of Moses that way, is he going to be with me? They give me confidence. That whatever comes my way, God's got my back. And he goes beyond that and says, I'll not fail thee, and I'll not forsake thee. He said, I'm not going to let you down, and I'll never leave you alone. You go, listen, this is, you go claim the land, but you be confident. And what he promised victory in verse number 5. He said, no man shall be able to stand before you. But beyond that, he said, my presence will be with you. My power will be with you. I'll be faithful. And here's what you're going to have. You're not going to have partial victory. You're going to have complete victory in verse 6 and 7. He says, be strong and of good courage. None of this people that shall divide from inheritance and land that I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and what? Very courageous. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. You see, let me say to you, the task before them was daunting. And God's people have to learn to live on His promises and not explanations. There's a lot of things I don't understand in this life, a lot of things don't make sense. But what God has said, you better put faith in it. You better bank on it, because you can trust it. Now, as I say, whatever God sends at you in life, you'll come to crossroads many times and it'll not make sense. It'll seem like the world has a better solution. The world has a better idea. But you know what you do? You have confidence in what God said and how you live your life and how you control yourself and how you serve the Lord. And I promise you this, you will have good success. And so, don't worry about God explaining it to you. Don't worry about trying to figure everything out in life. Simply trust God and He will take care of you. But on this, there was a commitment. There was a call to commitment. That's really what I want to get to tonight. Verse 7 and 8 says this. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. He said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to follow my word. I want you to follow my word. Now here he goes on, lays down some things here. He says, now, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not part out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous. The key to success, the key to having a desire for victory, the key for overcoming obstacles, overcoming enemies, it wasn't found in the genius of Joshua, but rather Joshua sticking his nose in God's Word and allowing God to speak to him through His Word. Now I'll tell you how we have victory in this life. It's not through college. It's not through the wisdom that the world imparts. But the way we can have true victory in our Canaan land and the life that God has for us is to follow the Word and get our nose in the Word. He said, don't stray to the right hand or to the left. And I said this the other day. Listen, there's ditches on both sides of the road. You know it? Some people act like there's only ditches to the left. I got news for you. There's ditches on the right side. Some people want to take the Bible and they want to make it say more than what it says, and some people really don't care what it says, and that's how they live their life. But guess what? Both sides are wrong. You follow the Bible. You see, the Bible is to be your final authority for faith and practice. Let me just tell you something. I want you to understand. You say, what is the Bible to me? It was the very key for Joshua to live a life of success. May I say to you, what we find in the Word first is salvation. Jesus Christ came in this world to die for sinners and is declared within His Word. And so when we turn to the Bible, one thing we can say for sure, that the Word of God, one of the things it gives is a message of salvation that we can cling to and hold to even when the world's on fire. Let me say this to you and all that. It is our strength. See what I mean by that, Brother Grant? Well, it's our substance. You know, Jesus is the Word, is He not? You remember when they, on the Passover, that when they were getting ready to leave Egypt, Moses was to take the lamb and put the blood upon the mantle of the lamb. If a household be too little for the lamb, guess what? You got your neighbors together and you come in here. Thank God the lamb was never too little for the household. But they took the blood and they went in there. You know what they did with the lamb? The lamb was a picture of Jesus Christ. They were to consume the lamb. They were to eat the lamb. Why is that? Because the lamb gave them strength for their journey. Let me tell you where we get our strength from in this world today. We get our strength from the Word of God. Now, some people try to find it every place else under the sun. But may I say to you, if you want to live a victorious life, you've got to consume the Word of God. If you want to go and say someone is lifting weights and they want to get stronger, they're going to have to eat some protein. They're going to have to put some things in their body that cause, besides just lifting weights, they're going to have to put some things in their body that causes their muscles to grow. Let me tell you, if we're facing this world, we want good success. We have got to put some things in our heart and our mind, some substance from the Word of God, if we expect to grow and to be strong and powerful in this world. And if we go on a fast from the Word of God, we'll become weak. And we'll lose everything we've gained. You see, it is our strength, the Word of God is. Let me tell you, it is our sight. You know, what is, thy Word is what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Tells us that in Psalms 119. Let me tell you, you want direction for your life, you can't tell which way to go. Every young person here, Alex, everybody, say, how do I know how I'm living my life? Which direction do I go? Well, the Word of God gives light. You know, the Orientals actually did something pretty impressive back in that day. And we're called Occidentals. They're called Orientals, right? That's kind of weird. Occidentals and Orientals. But that culture in that day, you know what they did? They would put little bitty lamps on their shoes. Now, it couldn't shine. I just bought a flashlight, 700 lumen. You know what that means? Candle power, right? You know what I want that? I want to be able to see a bullfrog. Or deer. Better not say that out loud too much. Won't be able to see it. And I thought, you know, there's some. I know that Josh had some. So how powerful them little bitty lights you have? Yeah. Now I want one of his. I mean, that thing's crazy. I mean, that's a flashlight, amen? You see way out there with that flashlight, but you know what? You put a lamp on your feet, you can't really see too far ahead. Why didn't God give us something that shined way out here that we could see our next 20 years clearly? He didn't do that. You know why? Because we wouldn't walk by faith. We wouldn't depend on Him. We see the course navigator self. When they put those little lamps in their feet and they walked at night, it's amazing. You know what happened? It only gave them enough light for the next step ahead. It'd keep them from going over a cliff. It'd keep them from rolling an ankle. It'd keep them from stepping on a snake. But it wouldn't give enough light way ahead. Let me just tell you something. This life, you're trying to plan it all out, course it all out. Yes, there's nothing wrong with making plans, but the truth of the matter, you get up every single day and you start walking, and you need the light of the Word of God to show you where you need to step next. If not, you're going to end up in trouble. So it is our light. It does show us and it does guide us. It gives us sight. It's our sword. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and sunder, spirit, joints and the morals, discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It really, and when it says discerner, it means the critic, the kritikos, the word we get critic from. It's the very thing that judges our heart, the Word of God. May I say to you, you know what the Word of God is? It is an offensive weapon. You want to know how to live your life, how to defend yourself? Use the Word of God. But not only is it our sword, in essence, is our shield. Because not only did they use the sword to be ready to prepare to fight, but they also use the sword to defend themselves. And the best defense is a good offense. And you say, so what do I need? This world is out to get us. The world, the flesh, and the devil are against us. We need some offensive weapons. We need something to protect ourselves. And this book is it. We lean upon it. Let me tell you something else, and I'll come to a close tonight. Why God wanted him in the Word, why we all should, if we want good success in our life. You see, Canaan was the future ahead of them. There laid all kinds of potential there. Let me say to a lot of people here, there's a lot of potential ahead for you in your life. You want good success, you better get in the Word. What else did they have? Not only was it salvation, strength, and sight. Not only is it their sword and their shield, but also it's for their sensibilities. Let me tell you why some people don't have the sense God gave a goose. Because they've never been in the Word. You read the book of Proverbs, it tells you how to live. Like a father giving instruction to his son. It tells you how to act, how to respond, how to deal with issues. See, it gives us sense. In fact, What did the Psalmist 119? He said, because he studied thy precepts, he had more wisdom than the ancients. Let me tell you something. If you want to know how to live your life, get in this book. This book is the key to spiritual prosperity in your life. I didn't say you become rich. I didn't say you become famous. I said this book will help you to be a success in God's eyes. And when I say to you, when we die, God's not going to say, how much money do you have in your account? God's not going to say, how many businesses have you run? God's not going to ask how many friends you had on Facebook. God's not going to ask how popular you was on Instagram or Snapchat or anything like that. But God is going to see how we adhered to the Word of God. And dear friends, may I say to you, that's what's most important. He'll make the way prosperous, a way that will honor and glorify Him.